Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I know from my own experience that when you are of a certain age, you see floaters and flashers occasionally in your field of vision. You notice them, and then they quickly go away. Recently, though, our program director here at Reach Out Radio, Ruth Finney, experienced them, and they did not go away. It was a very intense experience. She wrote about it on Reach Out Radio Facebook page on January 31st, and she is allowing me to share the information with you, too, today. So this is what she said on that Facebook post. Floaters and Flashes, a Personal Story. This was posted on the Reach Out Radio Facebook page on January 31st by Ruth Finney. She says, as program director of WXXI Reach Out Radio, I've been working in the field of vision loss since 1986, and I have met people with many, many eye conditions and stories to tell. But this week, one of those stories became my own. With no notice, I began experiencing floaters in one eye, and I soon realized that I was also experiencing flashes. I knew a little bit about these, as I had written a short post on them on Facebook back in 2017. I knew that I needed to follow up quickly, and thankfully I did. According to the American Optometric Association, spots, often called floaters, are small, semi-transparent or cloudy particles within the vitreous. The vitreous is a clear, jelly-like fluid that fills the inside of your eyes. These spots can appear as specks of various shapes and sizes, or thread-like strands, or even cobwebs. Because they are in your eyes, they move as your eyes move, and they seem to dart away when you try to look at them directly. Spots are often caused by small flecks of protein or other matter that become trapped when your eyes formed before birth. They can also appear as vitreous fluid deteriorates due to aging. Also, certain eye diseases or injuries can cause the appearance of these spots or floaters. Most spots or floaters are not harmful, and they rarely limit your vision. They are a natural part of the eye's aging process. But spots can be an indication of a more serious problem. If you suddenly see more floaters than normal, along with bright flashing lights, see your optometrist or ophthalmologist immediately. This could be a sign that you have a tear in your retina and it could detach. This should be treated immediately to prevent serious loss of vision. So Ruth continues by saying, knowing this, I immediately contacted my eye care provider. Sure enough, I had a torn retina. This required surgery right away. The good news was that my retina had not detached, and cryocauterization was able to treat the problem. And a note here that both lasers and cryocauterization are used today to treat this retinal tear. So here is a great article that she gives a link to with lots more information on floaters, retinal tears, and detachments. The article comes from the American Foundation for the Blind. And in just a few minutes, I'll be bringing that whole article to you. But the Facebook post from Ruth continues, and she said, like 90% of patients, this is according to her doctor, I was petrified about anyone having to do anything to my eye. But the doctor's reassuring manner and explanation of everything made it better. The procedure took about 30 seconds and was completely painless. I was back at work the next day. I share this story because I want to encourage you that if you are dealing with floaters and flashes, please contact your eye care providers immediately. I also want to assure you that the procedure to repair this retinal tear was painless and quick. If I had waited, the retina could have detached, and then it would have been a much more serious type of surgery. So she concludes, pay attention to your body and be proactive in taking care of your eyes and your vision. It is well worth it. So next, we have the follow-up article. It comes from the visionaware.org website, and this is published by the American Foundation for the Blind. The article's title is Floaters, Retinal Tears, and Retinal Detachments. It was written by Dr. Mrinali Patel Gupta. The topics that we'll be covering are: what are floaters, what causes floaters, what should you do if you notice floaters, how are floaters treated, how are retinal tears treated, and how are retinal detachments treated. So back to that first question, what are floaters? As their name implies, floaters are usually small black shapes that look like spots, squiggles, or threads, and they float about in your vision. They generally move as your eyes move and are most noticeable against a plain, bright background, such as a white or light-colored wall. The next question, what causes floaters? There are a number of conditions and changes within the eye that can cause floaters, and these are the six most common causes of floaters. First one, changes in the vitreous. The inside of the back part of the eye is filled with a jelly-like substance called the vitreous. The vitreous is attached to the retina, which is the thin, light-sensitive tissue that lines the inside surface of the eye. Much like the film of a camera, that's back in the old days when cameras had film, much like the film of a camera, cells in the retina convert incoming light into electrical impulses. These electrical impulses are carried by the optic nerve to the brain, which finally interprets them as visual images. A second possible cause for floaters, as an individual ages, the jelly-like vitreous becomes more liquefied and areas of the vitreous can condense and acquire a stringy consistency. These strings or strands of the vitreous can be perceived as floaters. A third possible cause, posterior vitreous detachment. This is a PVD. As the vitreous liquefies, it also shrinks and pulls away from the retina. This process is called a posterior vitreous detachment, or PVD. Many people develop posterior vitreous detachments and never experience any symptoms, whereas others may notice new floaters. In general, a vitreous detachment is not considered an ocular emergency. Number four, this is for the cause of a floater. A retinal tear or a retinal detachment. In some cases, as the vitreous is peeling away from the retina and detaching, it can pull so hard in areas of firm attachment that it tears the retina. Therefore, any person with a posterior vitreous detachment should have a careful retinal exam to rule out any associated tear. As the retina tears, a retinal hemorrhage may also produce floaters. A tear in the retina is of great concern because it can extend and allow fluid to enter through the tear and separate the retina from the underlying tissue. To picture how this happens, imagine a rip in the wallpaper in your bathroom. That is like a retinal tear. If the rip is not repaired over time, steam from the bathroom shower can get behind that tear, and eventually the entire sheet of wallpaper may begin to peel and fall off. Well, a similar process occurs when a tear is untreated and the retina comes off or detaches. Now, this part of the article has a box in the middle of it with more information. I'll read that box to you and then we'll go back to the article. The box says, retinal tears often lead to retinal detachment. While retinal tears usually do not cause vision loss and can be repaired effectively through non-incisional, in other words, no surgical cuts involved, non-incisional surgery such as laser or cold therapy, cryotherapy, in the office without anesthesia, retinal detachments almost always cause vision loss, sometimes severe vision loss or blindness. Retinal detachments usually involve incisional surgical repairs in an operating room. Therefore, it is critical to be evaluated promptly because diagnosis and treatment of a retinal tear before it becomes a retinal detachment can be vision-saving. And this was a little box of information in the middle of the article. We'll go back to the main article now, describing retinal tears or detachments as the cause for some floaters. They say anyone can develop a retinal tear or detachment, but they are more likely to occur in persons who are nearsighted, older, have recently undergone cataract surgery, or have sustained a trauma to the eyes. The fifth possible cause for floaters would be vitreous hemorrhage. In addition to retinal tears, other conditions that result in bleeding into the vitreous, such as proliferative diabetic retinopathy, can produce floaters as well as decreased vision. And the last cause that they address would be inflammation. Less commonly, some types of inflammatory conditions of the eye, called uveitis, can lead to floaters as well. So the next question in the article asks, what should you do if you notice floaters? Anyone who notices new floaters should undergo a dilated eye examination by an ophthalmologist. The ophthalmologist may use a Q-tip or a small instrument to push gently on the eye to look at the far edges of the retina not visible through a routine examination. Any patient with a prior history of floaters who notices a new shower of floaters, flashing lights, or a curtain or a shade coming down over one eye should undergo a prompt eye examination. These may be signs of a retinal tear or a retinal detachment. Next, we come to the question, how are floaters treated? In all cases, the underlying cause of the floaters should be treated. The underlying cause for any inflammation or bleeding should be identified and treated accordingly. If the floaters are due to changes in the vitreous or to a posterior vitreous detachment, no intervention is necessary. A dilated eye examination should be performed to rule out an associated tear or detachment. The second point they make in the floater treatment, in addition, many eye doctors may perform a follow-up exam in several weeks to confirm that a new tear or break has not developed in the retina. Over time, the floaters may decrease, and in many cases, the brain just learns to ignore the floaters. The only effective way to remove floaters from the vitreous or from posterior vitreous detachment is to surgically remove them. In rare cases of vitrectomy, this will be explained down below, in rare cases, a vitrectomy can be considered if floaters are causing significant visual symptoms. However, it is important to weigh the risks versus the benefits of such a procedure. The next section now is how are retinal tears treated? First of all, the procedure that Ruth Finney had that I told you about in the Facebook post, cryotherapy, cold therapy, or laser therapy is used to seal the tears. The cryotherapy probe is placed on the outside surface of the eye, directly over the area of the retinal tear. In laser therapy, a laser is directed into the eye and is focused on the area of the retinal tear. This treatment creates a scar around the tear to sort of like spot weld the retina to the wall of the eye in the area surrounding the tear. Though these treatments are highly effective in preventing retinal detachment, there is still a risk of retinal detachment from the tear, since fluid can collect under the retina through the tear and result in a retinal detachment. Therefore, patients should seek evaluation if there are any significant increases in the symptoms noted above. And remember that Ruth reminded you that the treatment she had, the cryotherapy, was both very quick and very easy and painless, she said. The next section is how are retinal detachments treated? Retinal detachments can be repaired in one of several ways, depending on the specific nature of the retinal detachment, also on perhaps other ocular findings and the patient preferences. Cryotherapy, once again, this is for retinal detachment, cryotherapy or laser therapy to seal any breaks, along with what they call pneumatic retinoplexy. Pneumatic retinoplexy involves injection of air or a gas bubble into the back of the eye. The bubble expands and seals the tear and the surrounding retina to prevent additional fluid from collecting under the retina tissue. The fluid already present under the retina is slowly pumped out by cells in the retina, allowing the retina to reattach. The laser or cryotherapy procedure seals the break, as we described just a few minutes ago. Based on the location of the retinal tear, the patient may have to maintain his or her head in a certain position to keep that bubble in the right location. For example, you might be asked to lie face down or sleep on your one side or the other side. Patients with a gas bubble in the eye should not fly or dive, since pressure changes in either situation can result in expansion of the gas and therefore endanger the eye. Over the course of several weeks, the gas bubble is replaced gradually by fluid that's created by the eye. This procedure is performed in an office setting with topical anesthesia, namely with drops or gels applied on the eye. Sometimes it can be done, the procedure can be done under local anesthesia. This would be with anesthetic injected into near or around the eye. And this is for repairing a detached retina. Another way of repairing it is the scleral buccal surgery. In scleral buccal surgery, scleral is S-C-L-E-R-A-L, scleral buccal. A buccal in this type of surgery, they call it a buccal, which is actually a silicone sponge, rubber, or semi-hard plastic, is actually sewn to the sclera, which is the coating of fibrous tissue that covers the white part of the eye. This will indent it and relieve traction or pulling from the vitreous on the retina. This surgery is performed entirely outside the eye, although some surgeons may also insert a needle into the eye under the retinal detachment to drain that fluid from under the retina. The scleral buccal remains in place after the conclusion of the surgery. The next possible treatment for retinal detachment is the pars plana vitrectomy surgery. In pars plana vitrectomy, the vitreous gel is removed to relieve the traction or pulling from the vitreous on the retina. All of the retinal breaks are identified, and traction from the vitreous is removed from the breaks in particular. The fluid under the retina is drained through one of the breaks, and laser is applied to seal those breaks. A gas bubble is placed to seal the break and help the retina stay attached while the eye heals. As above, this gas bubble will require positioning of the head, and it prevents the ability to travel by airplane or to any high altitudes. Over time, the gas will reabsorb on its own. In some cases, an oil bubble may be placed instead of a gas bubble. Oil bubble requires a second surgery in the future to remove it. The final word for retinal detachment repair, they say, number four, some cases of retinal detachment may require both a vitrectomy and a scleral buccal surgery. And here's a little more about surgery. Both vitrectomy and scleral buccal surgery are performed in an operating room under anesthesia. Many cases can be performed with monitored anesthesia care, in which the patient is not put fully to sleep, but is made comfortable with mild anesthesia. A local anesthetic is often administered around the eye to reduce discomfort and prevent movement of the eye during surgery. And in some cases, you should know that general anesthesia may be required. This is for a retinal detachment. Although prompt and appropriate intervention has a high success rate in repairing the retinal detachment, namely by reattaching the retina, some cases will not achieve reattachment with a single surgery and may require additional interventions or surgeries. And then the final point they want to make, even when the retina is successfully reattached, the subsequent visual outcome depends on a number of factors, including whether or not the macula was involved in the detachment and how long the detachment was present before the repair. So once again, the reminder, act quickly if you notice anything. There is such a thing as an eye emergency. The next part of the program, I'm making the statement that in addition to floaters and flashers, there are other situations where you would be experiencing an eye emergency. This information came from clearview.org, which is the website of Clearview Eye Care in Roseville, California. Now, I don't expect that you'll be dropping in there for treatment if you live in the east part of the country, but they have some good information on their website. They say an eye emergency is an event where eyesight is at risk. Events that risk eyesight require prompt treatment to prevent vision loss. Contact your eye doctor immediately. If your eye doctor is not immediately available to assist or direct you, go to the nearest urgent care center or to the emergency room. First, we have a guide to basic eye care emergency issues. These are like first aid things that you do immediately, probably after you've called your eye doctor. First, they say, this is some things you should not do. Do not press on an injured eye or allow the victim to rub his eyes. Do not remove contact lenses unless rapid swelling is occurring or you cannot get prompt medical help. Do not attempt to remove a foreign body that's resting on a cornea or that appears to be embedded in any part of the eye. Do not attempt to remove it. Do not use dry cotton, including those Q-tip things, or any sharp instruments like tweezers on any part of the eye. Do not attempt to remove an embedded object. Do not let a burn become contaminated. Avoid breathing or coughing on the burned area. These are some things you should not do for eye care emergencies. Some of the most common eye care emergencies: loss of vision. Contact an eye doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Most serious forms of vision loss are painless, and the absence of pain in no way diminishes the urgency to get medical care. Many forms of vision loss only give you a short amount of time for them to be successfully treated. Next, cut or torn eyelid. Carefully wash the eye, apply a thick layer of an antibiotic ointment on the eyelid, place a patch over the eye, seek medical help immediately. If the cut is bleeding, apply gentle pressure with a clean, dry cloth until the bleeding subsides. This is on the lid. Rinse with water, cover with a clean dressing, and place a cold compress on the dressing to reduce the pain and swelling. A scratched eye. If the eyeball has been injured, get medical help immediately. Gently apply cold compresses to reduce swelling and help stop any bleeding. Do not apply pressure to control the bleeding. If the blood is pooling in the eye, cover both of the person's eyes with a clean cloth or sterile dressing and get medical help. Protruding eye. Bulging of a single eye, especially in a child, is a very serious sign and should be evaluated immediately. The next situation, something under the eyelid that cannot be removed. Tell the person not to rub the eye. Wash your hands before examining it. Examine the eye in a well-lighted area. To find the object, have the person look up and down and then side to side. If you can't find the object, grasp the lower eyelid and gently pull down on it to look under the lower eyelid. To look under the upper lid, you can place a cotton tipped swab on the outside of the upper lid and then gently flip the lid over the cotton swab. If the object is on an eyelid, try to gently flush it out with water. If that does not work, try touching a second cotton-tipped swab to the object to remove it. This is if it's on the outer part of the eyelid. If the object is on the eye, try gently rinsing the eye with water. It may help to use an eyedropper positioned above the outer corner of the eye. Do not touch the eye itself with the cotton swab. Another eye emergency would, of course, you'd realize it would be chemicals in the eye. In that case, flush with cool tap water immediately. Turn the person's head so the injured eye is down and to the side. Holding the eyelid open, allow running water from the faucet, or a fountain for that matter, to flush the eye for 15 minutes. If both eyes are affected or if the chemicals are also on other parts of the body, have the victim take a shower. If the person is wearing contact lenses and the lenses did not flush out from the running water, have the person try to remove the contacts after the flushing procedure, and then continue to flush the eye with clean water or saline while you are seeking urgent medical attention. If you have blood in the whites of the eye, call your eye doctor if you have a hemorrhage in both eyes at the same time, or if the subconjunctival hemorrhage coincides with other symptoms of bleeding, including easy bruising, bleeding gums, or both. Go to your eye doctor immediately if you have a subconjunctival hemorrhage, and you have pain associated with the hemorrhage, changes in vision, for example, maybe your blurry vision, double vision, or difficulty seeing. If you have a history of a bleeding disorder or history of high blood pressure or an injury from a trauma to the eye, go to your eye doctor immediately or urgent care or emergency room. If you have something embedded in the eye, leave the object in place. Do not try to remove the object. Do not touch it or apply any pressure to it. Try to calm and reassure the person. Wash your hands. Bandage both eyes. If the object is large, place a paper cup or make a cone to go over the injured eye and tape it into place. Cover the uninjured eye with gauze or a clean cloth. If the object is small, cover both eyes with a clean cloth or sterile dressing. Even if only one eye is affected, covering both eyes will help prevent eye movement. And then get medical help immediately. This is an eye care emergency. Another eye care emergency, if there are abnormal pupil size or abnormal pupil shape, you should see a doctor very quickly if you have persistent, unexplained, or sudden changes in your pupil size. The new development of different sized pupils may be a sign of a very serious condition. If you have different pupil sizes after an eye or head injury, also get medical help immediately. A little disclaimer here, you probably know this, I hope you know this, a licensed physician should be consulted for diagnosis and treatment of any and all medical conditions, including the above-mentioned eye emergencies. You call 911 or go to the emergency room, call your eye doctor, be seen immediately. Well, to end today's program, I have a quote for you that uses a slightly different meaning for the term flashes of light. In this case, this anonymous quote says, "One day, your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching." Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.